Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm sitting at my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday, and the temperature is 55 degrees. Woohoo! It's like, you know, that, you know, you put your light spring jacket on. In my case, I have these wonderful shawls that I wear. Ah, I love spring. So spring is here officially. It's April. The April showers bring May flowers. And what do May flowers bring? Pilgrims. I know it's a bad joke. But anyway, what we're going to talk about here is the week of April 7th. How did that happen that we're in April already of 2014? And what we're in now is we're in the approach to the eclipses. The eclipses are coming. The eclipses are coming. Last week we had the Sun-Uranus meet up. So we got some exciting news. And on Sunday last week, we had the moon and the new moon in Aries. Now, this week, we build to the eclipses. The eclipse is actually next Tuesday, the 15th. But we're building and building this week with a number of energies pulsing away. The other thing is we've got this big old cardinal cross in the sky, and a couple people wrote this week about the cardinal cross or the high levels of anxiety or just feeling really tense. And, you know, feeling like everything's going really fast and really speedy, that's all the cardinal cross, right? Now, if you know the cardinal people, the people that are Aries, the Libras, the Capricorns, the Cancers, those people move fast. They get stuff done. The rest of us are slugabouts. We just don't move as fast as they do. They're speedy, speedy, speedy. So when we have four planets in cardinal signs, one in Aries, one in Cancer, one in Libra, one in Capricorn, those four planets are all urgent. They have a sense of urgency. They have a sense of speed, this desire to kind of conquer the world and go, 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 go. And so we have to honor that that's part of the energy, the pulse of the energy in the week ahead of us. And, of course, the month ahead of us, truly, but we're feeling it. We're building it. We're building it. We're building it. We're building faster, faster, faster. And you kind of have to go, okay, already, you know, how do we do it? Now, there's strategies for coping. One of my favorite students, Maria, who's a Taurus or Capricorn with a lot of Virgo, has decided that she's going to do something at the end of every planet in each of those signs. She's going to do something in her Libra house and her Capricorn house and her Aries house and her Cancer house because that is going to take up some of the energy. And that's an excellent strategy because there's a certain amount of energy running around in these planets, and it demands to be used, and it's either going to get used with your permission or without your permission, and so you might as well spend a little. You know, it's kind of like you got the energy in the chart running around in those houses. Use it. The other point of it is the four of them are arguing with each other. So anytime you're in some kind of dynamic with other people, you look around and you figure out who you are. Are you Jupiter that's seeking to expand things in the Cancer house and make everything grow? Are you Uranus, thinking to blow up things and cause chaos or run away and join the circus or just be, no, you can't make me, very teenagey? Are you Mars, saying, I'd like to fight, but I'm going backwards right now in Libra, the sign I don't really fight very well, and I'm going backwards, so I'm really having difficulty expressing my desires. Not that I don't maybe know what they are. So I had one student say to me, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. And I'm like, you got to fight with Mars retrograde in Libra. At least get the anger out of you. You have to get that energy out because it's going backwards, and it can go inside to make us feel sick, to make us feel anxious. If we don't take action, even though we're going backwards, even though Mars is going backwards, we may not be going backwards. But we need to use that energy to go inside intellectually because he's in an air sign. And then, of course, our beloved Pluto over there in Capricorn with the power struggles and the dramas and, you know, Dianne Feinstein and the CIA spying on her and all the stuff that's going on about abuse of power. Power trying to control things that perhaps it shouldn't be controlling. And Nancy Pelosi saying, Dick Cheney's the one that made the CIA do all these bad things. You know, we're supposed to have the CIA spying report released under this eclipses. And so with Pluto in Capricorn, it's about understanding what power is being done and how abuse is being done in our name. And I was in a class this week, you know, and someone was talking and they were like, you know, you kind of get desensitized to the abuse of power with Pluto in Capricorn. Oh, there's been another shooting. Oh, there's been... And as opposed to saying, why are we letting these things happen? Pluto in Capricorn is really getting stirred up this week because he's also coming to a station next Monday. So he's going to go retrograde next Monday, the day before the eclipse. Now, that means the 5 days before Pluto goes retrograde, because he's going retrograde on Monday, the 5 days before are Wednesday. Wednesday the 9th on, Pluto's getting ready for his station, okay? And then the 5 days after, from the 14th to the 20th, because he basically parks at the degree for 5 days. So Pluto's stopping in the sky in addition to this grand cross forming. So we have, one, we can expect great seismic activity, volcanoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, the whole nine yards. Either one of these guys stopping, any one of these four planets, well, not so much Jupiter, but Uranus and Pluto stopping, or Saturn, earthquakes, volcanoes, you know, lots of stuff. And the two of them stopping square to each other, stationing, big, big, big. And, of course, Pluto is the great unconscious, the deep underworld, where we see the power exposed for what it is. It's that scene in The Wizard of Oz when Dorothy comes back with the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West, and Toto runs over and pulls back the curtain behind the little guy running the fireball. And he says, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Just ignore him. I am the great and powerful Oz. So when Pluto stations to go retrograde, powerful things are revealed to be maybe not so true. So we're going to have that story running this week, in addition to these four guys arguing, fighting, arguing. Now, they're going to be fighting until the end of April when they start to split up. So your job with this is to pace yourself, to go slow, to not necessarily feel like you have to take action immediately, even though you're going to feel like you need to take action immediately, and to recognize, you know, sometimes you need to go to bed. So like last week, it was a three-page week. I'd been visiting my family, which, you know, you love them, but they make you a little crazy. So I'd spent like 12 days doing that or whatever. And then a friend of mine came in town and we partied. And I was just like, I need to go to bed. And I didn't get the column written. And I kept going, oh, I need to write the column. And then I kept going, oh, I'm so tired. I don't have energy for the column. I need to write the column. Oh, I don't have energy. Recognize these energies are so fraying and so end of your skin kind of energy, you may not have energy. Or you may find you're like a whirling dervish of activity that's hard to sit down and, you know, hard to calm down, or feeling like you're pulled in four different directions because they are across. Interesting that it's happening right before Easter, the imagery of being hung on a cross. And a cardinal cross does have that feeling that we're kind of pulled betwixt and between, hanging out there, stuck. Frozen, and we will feel frozen. We will feel pulled in all the directions until the end of April, but we'll also feel this enormous urgency that we have to do something, anything, because we're having the cardinal cross. At the same time, we're having two eclipses. And eclipses make us feel like, my God, I have to handle this immediately. Now, of course, in many cases, the situation's been going on for a long, long time. But suddenly, with a new sense of urgency, you can't take it a minute longer. And you have to do something about it now, or else you're going to just bust. You don't have to do anything. Sit quietly. Watch it. Watch everybody else being crazy. Just watch the energy around you and just go, wow. Remember that everything you're reading in the news is somewhere in the sky. And somewhere in your chart, so somewhere in your chart, they're searching for your missing recorder lost in the Indian Ocean. Somewhere in your chart, they're fighting over the release of the CIA report and whether you should spy on Dianne Feinstein. Somewhere in your chart, David Letterman is retiring. Somewhere in your chart, just go through the list of stuff in the news. Go through the list of stuff in your life. Someone's friend is dying. Someone's pet is dying. Someone's father's ill. Someone's going on, you know, leaving and heading across the country on a new life. All these leave takings, all these changes, all these sense of I have to make a difference, I have to make a change, very potent because the cross is running and underneath it is the eclipse. Now, the eclipse also takes us back to two earlier dates. It's the same degree that it was in 1995. So if you were alive in 1995 and, you know, older than, you know, 2 years old or whatever, the eclipse happened at the same number. So think about the spring of 1995 and what was going on then. It also is taking place at the degree of 28 Libra. Now, 28 Libra is a hot degree because that's the degree of Saturn and Pluto joining in November of 1983. And when they joined in the fall of 1982, in November of 1982, at 28 Libra, and then they danced back and forth through 83, there was a lot of opportunity for having disillusionment in relationship. There was a structural change in your relationship with something. A commitment to a relationship. I had a friend who got married then. A dissolution of the relationship. That's when my mother got diagnosed with cancer and died. End of a relationship. Profound transformational times. So now 19 years later, with the eclipse in 95 and 29 years later from that conjunction of Saturn and Pluto, the two of them are getting together and they're saying, this is what comes of that story. This is how the story ends. This is the concluding chapter, the epilogue, so to speak. But what it's going to do is launch you into a new chapter. So first up, the week ahead, excuse me, is a little exciting because Pluto's stationing on Monday, the 14th, which means we feel it as a Wednesday. And he's stopping at 13. Uranus is at 13, Jupiter's at 13, Mars will be there in a couple of weeks. But the three of them are all pulsing away. So look at anything you have at 13 in your chart because it's getting hit by this stuff. Then the sun goes from 18 Aries to 23 Aries, setting off the Aries planets, or the planets with planets at those degrees. So the sun is going to oppose Mars on April 8th, on Tuesday, April 8th. Giving it a real fight. The two of them are going to be having a fight, Sun-Mars opposition. And you go, okay. And that's also why you might be feeling a little crabby today, or you might be feeling a little shocked. I did a reading a few minutes ago, and I said to somebody, your Mars is retrograde. And they went, oh, wow. And by the end of the reading, they were like, I think I want to hang up now. And I'm like, it's really not that bad. It'll be good. It's retrograde until 2080, you know, when you're not going to be here anymore. But it really kind of marks a story, a shift in an energy, a shift in a life. So Sun opposite Mars is a shift in a life, a shift in a separation, an idea of looking at things and saying, okay, let me look at it differently. Right behind that Sun opposite Mars, Sun comes to join Juno. And it says to Juno, now that I've seen what I can't have, Sun opposite Mars, or I've separated from something I did have because I don't want it anymore, now I'm going to partner with something in a new way, Sun Juno. Might not be my complete dream, because there's a semi-square to Neptune and an inconjunct to Saturn, but I'm not going to allow it to irritate me. Sun joins Eris. Remember, this is how the week's going to unfold. And then I'm going to go for what I want, even if it means having to leave home, Sun opposite Vesta, or leave and depart from what I love. Sun contraparallel Venus. So the sun is very much involved. Now remember, the sun's in Aries. So Aries is an action-taking sign, and he's rolling through. Last week he set off the sun. He set off the T-square, but now he's rolling through the path of the rest of the T-square as it unfolds. So this energy of the sun as he moves away and he gets clear on what he wants to do, because last week he had kind of an aha moment on Monday or Tuesday. You found out something you didn't know about. You went, oh, my God, I didn't know that. Now that you know it, you're like, okay, let's go forward. And so this is the week we go forward. We understand and we partner in a new way, and we get rid of our despair, or maybe we use our despair or our anguish to move us into a new direction. Because sometimes when we want something really badly and the person or the people or we can't get it, we get really discouraged. Take the discouragement and use it in another way, if that's how you're feeling. You don't have to stay discouraged. You just have to reinvent, reengage, revisualize. I know it's hard. These are crappy transits. But just, you know, don't check out. Just say, Let me try another version. Mercury goes into Aries this week. Going to be so much nicer when Mercury gets into Aries. He's in Pisces, so he shifts into Aries on the 7th, which is Monday, around 11:30 in the morning. And he is very feisty when he's in Aries. He's speedy, speedy, fast, fast, quick, quick, talks fast, writes fast, communicates fast, drives fast. Fire. Remember, there's lots of fire in the sky. I said last week, no unattended candles, and somebody wrote to me and said, oh, there was a fire nearby in her house with unattended candles. Still no unattended candles, highly unstable energy, okay? No unattended fire energy. Mercury in fire stimulates the fire. He's on the world axis. We're going to get really important news on April 7th, so pay attention to what you hear that day. And then as Mercury rolls through from 1 Aries to 11 Aries, he's moving pretty fast. He's going from 29 Pisces to 11 Aries by the end of the week, which is almost 2 degrees a day. He's moving along at a pretty good clip. He sets off the early energies that are in the sky. So he has an aspect with Chiron, so you might feel a little wounded by somebody's words on Tuesday the 8th. And then he has lovely aspects to Venus and Neptune, where both of them are kind of like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. He's kind of in a mean mood. Mercury in Aries is cutting. You know, I famously tell the story, I have a friend with Mercury in Aries, and she always says things that are Mercury in Aries-like. And one time she said to me, you know, Ann, you're really smart. I don't understand why you're not more successful. I kind of looked at her and I thought, I think there's a compliment in there. You think I'm smart? But then there's the other part where you don't think I'm very successful. Interesting. And Mercury in Aries does things like that. It's like a razor blade. It's like a little sharp little mouth. So do be aware that you're going to have a sharp little mouth this week and say things that kind of shock people or make them go, oh, my God, or cut them. You didn't mean to, but Mercury in Aries makes you silver-fleeted with your tongue, silver-metalled with your tongue, very sharp. And interesting, there's a new movie out called Divergent, and at one point her ear gets cut. And I'm like, that's so much Mercury in Aries. It's like, you know, Vincent Van Gogh, when he chopped his ear off, he was having an Aries transit. So watch the sharp mouth. Watch the sharp tongue. Be careful of knives this week. It's a very good week for knives to be a little excitable. Jump right out of your hand and do strange things. Mercury also sesquiquadrates Saturn, which is stress around commitment, okay? Stress around commitment on the 11th. And, you know, just kind of delay. This is the kind of time where people are going to be like, you know what, I can't take it a moment longer. You have to make a decision. Remember, you have the gift of astrology. And what the gift of astrology gives you is you understand what this craziness is all about. The rest of the world, poor folks that they are, don't. Although this is the week when all your friends are going to come up to you and go, is there something going on in the heavens right now? It seems like everybody's really angry. And you can go, yes, there is actually, and this is a good opportunity to educate them on how to use the energy. But on the 11th, you're going to be in the mood to pick a fight with an authority figure. Just be conscious. You don't want to necessarily do it because they're not going to be in the mood to have a fight picked with them. The Mercury sesquiquadrate Saturn is a little bit of a crabby, cranky aspect, and people are going to be like, and then on the 13th, when Mercury sesquiquadrates Pallas Athena, you know, it's got this whole energy of, right? So when we have two sesquiquadrates in a row and those planets square each other, like Pallas Athena at 25 Leo and Saturn at 23 Scorpio, we have what's called a hammer of Thor in the sky. Whenever we have a hammer of Thor, or a hammer of God, or a fist of God, depending on how you want to call it, which is two sesquiquadrates and a square, Saturn is squaring Pallas Athena, asking us to see the patterns. And Mercury in Aries, obnoxious as he is going to go, I can't believe you didn't see that. And you have to say, you know what, I did not see it. Leave me alone. And you probably didn't, and that's okay. But now you do. And once you see it, you have to do something about it. So when they release the CIA report this week, write a letter to your congressman. Write a letter and just say, we need a little regulation here. when the full impact of the judge's rulings on people can donate as much money as they want to political campaigns, which means the guy with $1 million voice is worth, who donates $1 million, has more power than you do with your $10 donation. You know, just kind of pipe up and say, I think this isn't how the democracy was set up. Money is not free speech. And maybe we need to pass some laws or do some constitutional amendments that ban corporations and people from donating too much, because why should your voice be worth more than my voice? What gives you that higher power? Isn't that democracy? You know, it's understanding. We're going to have some interesting conversations this week as we see the patterns emerging in a new way. So Mercury in Aries and aspects a number of planets, but also forms a finger of Thor. So you're going to hear, or a hammer of Thor, you're going to hear stuff you might not want to hear, but you need to listen to it, because that hammer is talking to you. And we want to honor that the point of it, the reason why we're hearing it, is because it's something we need to hear and acknowledge and change. Venus, our lovely little goddess of love, is in Pisces, happy, happy, content. She's off in Pisces. She's coming to Neptune. And I will say, you know, a lot of my students get really nervous if they meet somebody on an eclipse. But if you meet somebody this eclipse with Venus joining Neptune in Pisces, which is what she does this week, she meets up with Pisces. Venus and Neptune meet up on April 11th. If you meet somebody and you fall in love, this is not a bad thing. Don't say no. Just kind of go, oh, hi, because Venus Neptune has a great deal of desire when she's in Pisces. She really wants her stuff. And also be very careful. It's a very good drug and alcohol time. You know, you can drink things and they kind of go to your head with Venus and Neptune joined. But there's also an understanding of Venus and Neptune in Pisces as the higher, Venus in Pisces is exalted, and when she joins with Neptune, the two of them are just, you know, they're just really happy. And so there's a real happiness, a real contentment. Now, lower form, Venus and Neptune, you can get really depressed. You can think, oh, it will never happen to me. It will never happen. But remember, Neptune is super powerful. That ocean is a big old baby. We've been watching it with this missing plane, how big the ocean really is. And even though, you know, you look at the map and you go, yeah, you know, I see it's a big blue thing in there. You don't really get it until you watch those videos of them flying over miles and miles and miles and miles. So Venus Neptune, the goddess of love, is diving into the ocean, which is where she came from, remember. She comes from Uranus's testicles that got thrown in there, and she emerged from sea foam. So Venus is all about love this week. So you can find deeply romantic times, even in the midst of this chaos, and people are going to feel compelled to speak their dream about love, or their speak their dream. So don't be afraid if you meet somebody cute to go on a date or to make a statement, because with the crossroads that we have in the sky and the eclipses, people are going to be wanting to make changes around relationships or wanting to commit or start new relationships or perhaps end them, because it can be an ending cycle. But it's about understanding that energy wants to expand. Venus goes from one Pisces to 8 Pisces this week. And she does have that lovely union up with Neptune. So she's going to be in the mood for love. I'm in the mood for love simply because you're fabulous. I don't think that's the words. But anyway, on to Mars. Mars, of course, is still retrograde in Libra and air sign. So we're thinking. He goes backwards from 19 Libra to 17 Libra. And aside from his opposition to the Sun this week, he also opposes Juno, the planet of partnership. Now, the Sun is going to link up with the planet of partnership, and Mars is going to argue with the planet of partnership. So this is another big divorce aspect. Gwyneth and Chris Martin last week are not the only people that are getting divorced. There'll be another couple of big divorces announced this week. And we'll find out they've actually been separated for a while, which is okay. But Sun union, and it's because somebody met somebody else, which is fine. That kind of stuff happens. And so we're going to find that as part of the story at the beginning of the week, at April, around April 7th. At the end of the week, Mars is contraparallel Uranus. Now, somebody asked me to explain contraparallels. What parallels and contraparallels are is it's the aspect that the planets make across the face of the Earth, as opposed to in the heavens above our head. It's like where they are relative to each other across the equator, above or below, because the planets go as high as 23 degrees Cancer, 27 minutes, and then as low as 23 degrees Capricorn, 27 minutes. So when a planet is contraparallel, they're across from each other, and it feels like an opposition. So Mars opposite Uranus, explosions, eruptions, chaos, arguments, fights, out of nowhere. People are going to be crabby, okay? So no arguing. I got this cab driver really annoyed with me the other day, and I didn't do anything except say, really? You're going that block? Traffic! I'm like, oh, right. You know, and I just thought, Ann, you know, you have a Mars-Mercury, just keep your mouth shut. Girlfriend, you just shoot your mouth off too much. And so I got quiet and just kind of sat in the back of the cab quietly, and he's zooming along at like 300 miles an hour, and I'm thinking, do I say go slower because you're making me nervous, or do I just suck it up and be quiet? And I decided I'd suck it up and be quiet because I know what these aspects are like, and I know they're in, I know where they are in my chart. But you may find you can't suck it up. You know, you have to kind of pipe up. But do recognize with the Mars-Uranus opposition and with Mercury and Aries and with the Sun-Uranus opposition and with the Juno-Uranus opposition, they might have had a bad day at home, and they might take it out on you. So your job is to kind of go, well, you know, maybe I'll just keep my mouth shut, which is actually a really good idea this week. So that's the story with Mars. Jupiter is having a semi-square to Admetos, so it's really getting ready to end something. So you have to kind of say, okay, I'm ready to end something. Of course, Admetos is on Algol, the fixed star of beheading, which I never like to see because that usually means there's going to be some kind of thing that causes a lot of people to die. And that is on the 12th of April. Saturn's in conjunct Juno on the 12th of April, too, which often is an end of a partnership. So we are going to hear some partnerships blowing up, ending, releasing, finishing, they're done. We also have Pallas Athena stationing at 24 Leo to go direct. Woohoo! Our pattern seer is turning direct again, so we're going to see things clearly again, because she's been retrograde for a little while, and so she's stationing at 24 on the 8th. So that also is, of course, in the middle of that hammer of Thor. Our job is to notice what we see, because she really wants us to see our patterns so that we're able to grow and become the person we're supposed to become rather than being hampered by our bad habits. Juno is joining up with Eris, the goddess of discord, this week. She joins with him on the 13th. That does give her a little bit of irritation around partnerships or relationships. So just kind of watch the partnerships you're in or the relationships you're in. You may find there's a little bit more of a squabbly energy to them because of that conjunction. And don't take it personally. Juno and Eris are joining up to inspire you to change something. Remember, Juno was originally mad at Eris because she started the Trojan War, because Eris... you know, well, whatever, the whole story of the Trojan War. Anyway, she got mad, went and did it. And Juno, of course, was the jealous wife. So we may hear some jealous wife stories running around in our culture this week, the difference between nurturing and jealous wife. And that's the theme for the week. Now, we're in eclipse season. So the eclipses continue to build and build and build. The energy is building. And as the cardinal cross tightens, even though those planets weren't getting set off, they're going to be triggered in the sky. Moon is going to go through Cancer on Monday, the 7th, and it's going to has a closing aspect of a trine to Saturn, so that's positive. Goes into Leo on the 8th and the 9th on Tuesday, and it goes void with a square to Saturn. So things begun on Tuesday and Wednesday have problems, don't work out. Moon is void all day Thursday. It's void all night, the night of the 7th. And it goes into Virgo on the 10th, 11th, and the 12th. It goes void at 1:12 with a sextile to Saturn, which is helpful. And then it's void Saturday night. And then it's into Libra on the 13th. And it goes void with an opposition on the 13th to the Sun. For the lunar eclipse. So it's kind of a week with stressful emotional energy, too. Cancer is helpful, the Monday, but the moon's void, so nothing really comes of it. The afternoon, the morning it does, but the afternoon not so much. Then Tuesday, Wednesday, harsh energy. Void all day Thursday. Thursday night, Friday, helpful. Saturday, okay, mixed bag kind of Saturday. And Sunday, difficult. So just kind of know that we're really working with deep energies here. The eclipses are here. They're not even coming. They're here. So have a good week, folks. I'll talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.